Good morning. Welcome. Happy Father's Day. We're glad you're with us today. We say it every week and we mean it. If you're here, you're not here by mistake. No matter what you may think you're here for a reason. We're glad you're with us, but God says you're here for a purpose. It's not a mistake. There's by design. And so we pray that you listen to what God may bring to you. It may be that you're a church attender all the time, or it may be the first time. But God wants to speak to you. So we're glad that you're with us today. If you're a guest, there's a plant in the back. You've already seen the slide. Paul will mention it again. Pastor Paul will say. But if you're a guest, feel free to take one of those plants. We'd love for you to take it as you water it. Take care of it. Pray for us in the process of that. I'll tell you what. I don't know how many. Pastor Paul, would you bring me just a napkin, please? Just run me a napkin. The reason why is that I don't know how many churches across America today have bacon on their platform. So last night, you know, we talked about, here comes Paul, he's going to be Mike much faster. Yeah. Thank you. The heat, the light from, the lights have melted the chocolate, but it's making the bacon good. Anyway, Mother's Day we handed out, Mother's Day we handed out cupcakes. Remember all you mothers, you guys mothers all decorated real nice. Jen called me and Paul called me last night, actually yesterday, and said, what are you going to give the men for Father's Day? Nothing. I'm not giving the men. They don't need nothing. We don't need nothing. We're men. And that didn't fly with Jen. Jen said, no. We're going to give them bacon, and we're going to drizzle it with chocolate. And so hopefully if you're a man and you got some bacon dribbled in chocolate, they didn't run out or whatever, but that's what it was. And I'm thinking, I just thought, how many pastors are teaching with bacon on their pulpit this morning? Minus the eggs and minus the bacon, you know, all that kind of stuff, sausage and all that or whatever. But it's just a way. Now, we all think that Pastor Paul's a crazy one because look at him. I mean, he's crazy. And they had a great camp, a wonderful camp. They did a great job. The staff and all did just a wonderful job of camp. But as you don't know Jen very well because she's quiet, kind of reserved, sitting back there. But that mind never stops. I think she's the real crazy one. But she's that quiet type, man. She's just, so you got to get to know Jen. Because she said, no, we got to do this. And so they started that yesterday, and I think she had some help, I hope, cooking all this bacon and putting chocolate all over it. I'm glad you're with us today. As we sang the last song, many of you have heard me say, because we sing that I need a Savior, Jesus is all, we say that, He's all that we need. And yet, not even like in the first service, in their service, I felt like there may be those of you who are here who are a place in your life where I've been, beyond just saying Jesus is all you need, it means nothing until He's really what you realize He's all you have. If you're here this morning and you realize that He's all you have, let me tell you, you're on the step of knowing, really, that He's going to be all you need. He will prove Himself faithful. He will be all you need. And I don't know why God laid that on my heart in this service, but if you're here, know that God knows your need. He will meet that need. We've been talking about the book of Proverbs, the principles from Proverbs. We looked at Proverbs because the reality is that we need to understand that Proverbs is the book of foundation for today's living. We talked about Paul teaching Timothy about guarding the gospel. We looked at now what? From the resurrection. It wasn't the end, it was the beginning. Now what? How do we live? And that now what? Jesus says to go. He gave every time He had a dialogue with people in the New Testament before His ascension, He told people, He gave them a commission to do something, to go. And we have that commission to make Him known, to know Him and to make Him known. And yet, God didn't just come down and say, okay, now you're my son, you're my child, and so good luck, and kicks the ball rolling and says, someday I'll see you in heaven. You're here now, but I'll see you in heaven one day. So good luck. He didn't leave us without a foundation, without a rock. He says, no, not only do you come to know me, but I'm going to give you principles of wisdom to live by, live today. And that's what Proverbs is all about. Proverbs isn't about just in heaven. The most of the narrative of the word speaks to us to direct us to the Savior, the Messiah, and to heaven, and to be with Him eternally. But these are principles, not just promises. Some people read them as promises, but they're not. They're contrasting principles, contrasting couplets, and they teach us the wisdom of making life easier this day. That's what it's about. And if you follow these principles, if you follow what God's Word says, your life will be easier. It does not mean that you will be pain-free. It doesn't mean that we will have no stress or no issues. But He does say that if we follow these principles, your life will be easier as you focus and follow the wisdom that God gives. And today, especially as we come to Father's Day, it was very, very simple. People say, are you going to do a Father's Day message? No, I'm doing a message on the principles of Proverbs. But within the principles of Proverbs, you are going to find many, many things that talk to fathers and to mothers and to parents and to kids about the role that we're supposed to take in life, about who we are supposed to be in life. Now, within all of this, I understand, especially on Father's Day, as I say this, understand the quantification of it. We need men today who will stand. We need men who will stand. Now, don't get me wrong. I don't like some of the gender issues that they put on all the things that we have. And that man, I'm not talking about the Marlboro man out there rough and rugged and got his cigarette and his horse and all that. I'm not talking about that at all. I'm talking about men who are godly men who desire to be godly. I want every father to stand. Every father, please stand. If you're a dad or soon to be. Where's Brandon? Where's those guys? You're soon to be. We're going to quantify you right here. Okay. All right. Give them all a hand. They're all dads right there. Stay standing. Please stay standing. I got to tell you, as I prepared for today, as I looked at this, and maybe it's from my own perspective of times of the churches that I grew up in. We'd come to Mother's Day and it was always warm and fuzzy. They got the cupcakes with a bright frosting. It was really nice, wasn't it? You come to Father's Day and you may not get anything, but if you do, it's usually not something. And if I thought today, if I asked you, okay, all the men who are standing, your fathers, don't do this. But if I asked you right now, just those, if you felt like you were a failure as a dad to be seated, I wonder how many of us would sit down. Now, some of you have young kids, you don't have that joy yet. But there's times when we as dads, as you have older kids, you start looking and say, man, did I do what I needed to do? Now I'm going to ask you all to be seated. I'm not saying that you're all failures. I'm just asking you all to be seated. But I think as we come to the Proverbs Father, we look and we're not setting a standard there that says, I'll never be able to reach it, so I'm a failure. And we have to stop this mentality that says we have to be perfect in all that we do. We can't be perfect at all. And as we come to the Proverbs Father, he gives us the principles within that. But he starts off right away within all that. He says in Proverbs chapter 1, which we looked at 2 weeks ago, verse 8, listen, my son, to your father's instruction and do not forsake your mother's teaching. Listen. The operative word there is listen and do not forsake. And we looked at the fact that it starts the educational process of believing of God's word, of believing the principles of the word. It starts in the home. It starts with mothers and fathers. It's not the school system. It's not our government. Their educational process starts with moms and with dads. Listen to your father's instructions. And there's an assumption there, right? The assumption is that the father is teaching. Is it not? If we're to listen to our father's instructions, we're not looking at a dad who's the fly in the wall or the wallpaper and not getting involved in the kids' lives to teach and to instruct. I'm sick and tired of parents who will say, well, we're not going to force our kids in any way. We want them to have self-discovery, free will discovery. That is not what God's word says. In fact, God's word says just the opposite. Well, I trust my kids. Well, hearty, hearty for you. Thanks for playing. You're never instructed to trust your kids. Never in the world did God say to trust your kids. And I know I always get people comment, well, I trust mine. Great. If your kids are trustworthy, do that. But the biblical precept here is that God has entrusted your kids to you. And you better teach. Now, those of you who don't have kids, some sense, quit trying to teach those who do. You know, I was a perfect father until I became one. Yeah, you can know things. We want to do that. But still, the reality is we've got to be teaching. We have to say we're going to instruct. We're going to guide, age-appropriate guide. We want them to own their own faith, but we want them to know what our faith is. Listen to your father's instruction. But he goes some things, and I want to look at just four or five things that we, as we look at our life, as we look at dads today, principles from Proverbs or the Proverbs Father, some of the things that we are to teach. One, we are to teach them to lead, not to follow. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 10. It speaks to that. My son, if sinful men entice you, do not give in to them. Do not give in to them. It is easy to follow the crowd. And sometimes we want to be accepted and I want to fit in. I don't want to stand apart and be different. But there's a choice that's got to be made at that point in time. There's the choice of following your friends for the sake of following your friends and being a part of the crowd, or is there a sake of saying, you know what? Man, I am secure in who I am, secure in who my dad has told me to be and what my dad says. I don't have to follow them. I don't have to give in to them. I will choose a different path. And yet you as students, you face that peer group. But not just students anymore. Adults do the same thing we face. Am I going to follow the rest of the guys at the office? Am I going to go to the same place all the rest of the people who go to the office go to? Am I going to do? We need to lead and we need to teach them to stand alone. We need to teach them the pitfalls of peer pressure. We need to instruct them in peer pressure that yes, you are going to be challenged and brought up and you may be ridiculed, bullied if you don't give in to what they're doing. But if you stand for what you know is right, we need to teach our kids that. I understand the desire to belong, the desire to be accepted is so strong. We all fight that, from student to adult. We don't want to stand out and be different. And yet that's what we're called to be. And we as dads need to teach our kids to say, you know what, you don't need to go with the crowd. And you're never going to stand alone. Why? Because you as the dad are saying, you know what, I'm going to be with you, son. I'm going to be with you, girl, daughter. I'm going to be with you. You make a choice to stand for what's right. I'm going to be with you. I'm going to be right there. And you know what? Believe it or not, I still believe the number one thing that kids want, they don't want the approval of their friends. They want the approval of their parents. They want them to hear, hey, man, I honor you for what you're doing here. He says we should also teach them tied to that. It's not just dad's instruction that you're doing this. We need to teach them to lead, but we also need to teach them to embrace God's counsel. To embrace God's counsel. Chapter 3, verses 11 and 12. He says, my son, do not despise the Lord's discipline and do not resent his rebuke, because the Lord disciplines those he loves as a father, the son he delights in. We think of discipline as punitive, as punishment. But the word, root word here is counsel, discipleship. Don't despise the Lord's discipline and discipleship and counsel. And don't resent his rebuke or correction that he tries to bring into our life. Just as parents, we try to discipline our kids, disciple our kids to make right choices. Man, we need to develop in our kids a tender heart to the things of the Lord. But the only way we can develop in them a tender heart to the things of the Lord is if we have a tender heart as dads to the things of the Lord. We need to be that tender heart to listening to God, to the counsel of God, a willingness to listen that they need to see in us, not just to God, but we need to have a willingness to listen to others. A willingness to listen that will help in others who have been in that situation, mentors, people who have gone this road before us, to listen. We talked about that early on in Proverbs, that last week, that was the whole point. That we wish we could say, man, we wish we could say, don't do that, and people would listen. And the hated words are what? I told you so. Those hated words, I told you so. And the most hated words is, I know you told me so. But we need to listen. We need to be willing to listen to that. But you need to share life with your kids. Share life with your kids. It takes time. It takes time to be in the situations to teach your kids life lessons. Forget that nonsense that says quality versus quantity. It's just nonsense. Well, I work all the time, but man, every Saturday I give them an hour. I make pancakes for them every Saturday morning for an hour. They're good. No. No. You need to spend time with your kids. And in doing life, you have the opportunity to teach them life lessons. To listen to God, to embrace God's counsel, and to listen to what He says and to do it. It was off the cuff in the first service. It's not off the cuff now. It's planned. But I was talking about some of the guys that I know that they just think they know it. And we go to build something or they go to fix something, they know it. And I'm the guy that says, I may think I know it, but is there a manual with that? Is there a book with that? Because I'm going to read it. I'm going to make sure we're doing this right. Now, some of you guys, that same way, I just know how to do it. I'm going to tick right in. If I make a mistake, I'll do something else. I was teasing because even between service, people were saying, were you talking about Mike Strong? Yep. Billy Anderson, same way. Billy, right there. These guys, they're very talented guys. They can fix and they can do. They can install. They're really good, man. You need something done, just call them. All right? But I would suggest if you have a manual, you better read it before, because they're going to come in. Here's the manual. I don't need a manual. I don't need it. Now, it's a joke between us, because here I'm saying, you know what? Maybe we should read this to find out how you put this up or do this. And we do it. No, don't worry about it. I mean, I don't know. And I don't know, now they'll deny this, but I'm the pastor. Would I lie up here? No. Mike, don't gag. The reality is, I don't know how many projects that they've been on that I've walked by and they'll say, I got it. Did you read the manual? No. Well, I did just now. Like, it took me 13 seconds to see right on the front of it. That's wrong. No, it's not wrong. I've done this 1,000. That's wrong. Sure enough, sure as shooting, whether it be the thermostats on the wall, whether it be the runner for a garage door, whether it be whatever, you know, I've learned you don't argue with them. You let them do it until they get to the point where it says, that's wrong. Then they'll listen. But you know what? The analogy is this. We have God's word right here. We have Proverbs that's saying, here's how you do it for right living. This is what we do. And yet, do we do the same thing? Do we say, oh, I know all about life? Man, I know my mom and dad. You either want to do what they did or you don't want to run from it and not do a thing they did. Oh, I got it all figured out. We have the manual for living right here. But do we follow it? Do we embrace God's counsel to know the word, to listen to the word and say, you know what? I don't know how many times I've had people come into my office and say, I know what God says, and I would like to stop right there and say, hallelujah. But what will they do? Say, I know what God says, but, and whatever follows is going to be bad. Whatever comes up is going to be bad. We need to teach them to embrace God's counsel, to nurture them within that point, a willingness to listen, and we model that to them. And we start by listening to them. Stop with your kids. Give them eye contact. Stop long enough. Don't just be discarding them. We need to teach them as well. And this is a tough lesson. It must be a lot. But we must teach them to put self to death. Chapter 5, verse 23 in Proverbs. It talks about, for lack of discipline, for lack of counsel, they will die. They're led astray by their own great folly. Left to their own devices. It says we need to teach them to put self to death. Man, we feed the self. We feed the self. Pretty soon you're going to be led astray. We look at even in our world, the self-indulgences that people get into. I'm going to do this. I know what God says, but. And we need to limit, we need to teach by mentoring the issue of limiting self. We talk about self-promotion, how we need to promote self. We looked at that, remember? And yet the problem I have with self-promotion is I don't find it in God's word. I find dying to self. And yet we have a generation that says, I have a right. Boy, how many times have we heard that? I have a right. Nobody has the right to treat me that way. Nobody has the right to say that. You don't have the right to do that. And it's all about our rights. And yet God's word says that we humble ourselves. We die to self. And we only want the response that is loving and godly. We can't control all the stimulus that's going to come into our life, folks. Impossible. But when our goal is to respond the way Christ would respond, to respond in love, to make everything, we put self to death. We put our indulgences away. We need to teach the value, which goes right along with this, to teach the value and purpose of money. You say, uh-oh, here it comes. Yep. Chapter 3, verses 9 and 10. Honor the Lord with your... Okay, all two of you, thank you. Let's try this again. Honor the Lord with your... Okay, one more time. Honor the Lord with your wealth. You're still not believers, but I'm going to go on. With the first fruits of all your crops. Then your barns will be filled overflowing and your vats will brim over with new wine. He says more about money in the word than any other single topic. And yet it is the one area that families fight over, that people fight over, and debt load fights over. Oh my gosh. Don't you hate the credit calls that are saying, you know, we owe you this, or you're late here, da 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 da. And we say, oh well, but God doesn't have anything to say about that. We need to teach our kids the issue of the value and the purpose of money, the purpose of the form of it. And he says here first, to honor the Lord with your wealth, the first priority, the first fruits. The analogy there of the first fruits that come in, the very best fruits that come in. We're going to give to God. As Dave Ramsey says, we take our budget that we have, where usually it's whatever I have left, maybe I can tip God, and we turn it over, we make God first within that. And the amazing thing is, you ask people who do this, they're going to say, I don't know how it happens, but all of a sudden, I've turned it around, I honor God with the first fruit, and guess what? By the time the end of the month comes, I've got it all paid. I've got it done. I'm doing what God wants me to do. And we looked at last week, the issue, remember? He that watereth is watered. Remember the verse? He that watereth is watered. And I love that because it's like we're standing here with a garden hose And we're going to be generous to those, generous to the things of God, generous to the church, have a mentality of generosity and using the money that God's given us. And we're going to be generous within that, real generous. And we're having our garden hose going. And what God is saying, when you've learned that, to honor me with your first fruits, to be generous, you're using the garden hose and I'm using the fire hose in your life. And I'm going to give you more and more. Why? So you can hoard it? No, not at all. But so that I can give more and more and invest more and more. We need to teach them giving. We need to teach them. We need to teach our kids about the honor of working and earning money. Of working and earning and completing the job. Not just saying, hey, I'm going to go home, it's hot. Or, you know what, I don't want to do this anymore, I'm done. Putting your hand to the plow and sticking to it. I don't like my job. Well, has God placed you there? Man, how many times, even this week, I had a conversation about a job. Maybe God's placed you there. Maybe the work that needs to be done is not there, but it's in you to say, I'm going to use this as a mission field for what God has me. And I may not care for my job, but nothing else has opened up yet. And so you pray that God opens something else. But in the process, God, use me where I'm at. Change my attitude. We need to teach our kids with balance the value of work. Some of you say, well, I work a lot. That's what I'm teaching my kid. No, not overboard. We need to teach our kids the issue of spending and investing money. Man, we need to teach them, you know, usually you don't have a problem teaching them how to spend. You probably don't have a problem with spending. Most people don't. But to spend within balance, to spend what I need, not just what I want. Not that impulsive, I want this now, I'm going to go get this now. Our kids today know very little delayed gratification. That I will work for it and save for it, and then I will get it. We need to teach our kids the value of money. The investors say, well, Bill, why is it so strong on money? Why is he saying all this? We need to teach our kids the value of saving. The value of saving. We need to teach our kids that issue. Bill, you know, it's a little bit overboard. Listen, you may think, well, I don't really need to go into all that with my kids, do I? I mean, come on. Listen, the number, you know, there's now four things that cause marital disharmony. Four things that will really just destroy a marriage. One of them is the issue of money. And so you're giving them instruction and you're training them now so that when they go into other things, they look and they say, oh, I'm going to be wise with this. I'm going to be wise with all of that. I need to save. Now, I'm not a great saver. I give everything away. And probably to an imbalance. But I've been blessed over and over. And let me tell you, the issue of saving, some of you need to hear me here, newsflash, if you're the type that says your savings are going to save you, you'll never have enough. If you're that type, I just need a little more and then I'll become, no you won't. And a reality check for all of us, if we think the money that we have in the bank, sitting in the bank, collecting a little bit of interest you have, is going to secure you in the future, you may be wrong because we've seen in a heartbeat how fast that can be gone. We can see that it's devalued to nothing. We can see. And, you know, yes, we need to be wise, it says. Be wise with what we save, to save, but not to the point of where it closes off our generosity to others and to God's church and to ministry. You can save to the point where you're sinning because you will not give. You will not trust God. And that's the greatest part. You think you have all this money in the bank. That's my security, but it subjects yourself to thinking, that's my trust, not God. I'm telling you what, I'm thankful. I can't listen to some guys that talk about money because I'm thinking I'll never have enough. You're right. But God's promises to us are to meet our needs regardless of Social Security, regardless of a 401, regardless of what. My God, who owns a cattle on 1,000 hills, not 1,000 cattle. He owns the 1,000 hills they're sitting on. He says he knows my needs. And the point here, folks, is that the reason that I give it away and the reason we need to be generous is because when we see people, when God says he's going to supply our needs, do you know how he's going to do it? Through you and through me. Having the sensitivity to see others that have need and say, I can help that and the church can help that. And I'm not going to say, you should give and help them. It becomes to us, we have the financial freedom to say, we're not living in debt. We have the freedom. God, move my heart to meet a need that they have. I want to do that. And God uses his people to meet the needs of his people. That's where we're at. To be wise. Now, we as parents need to teach that delayed gratification. But I need to do a disclaimer here. If you're a grandparent, none of that applies to us. We don't have to do that. We're grandparents. We can spoil. That's what our job is. But the reality is we need to teach, even as grandparents, the value and the purpose of why God gives us money. When I'm with my grandkids, I pray for opportunities to demonstrate that in full circle. I don't mean just by giving the guy that's standing on the corner a quarter. No, that's uninvolved. But to really try to meet somebody else's needs. And this is not about me, but again, trying to teach a lesson. One of my granddaughters, a Girl Scout, man, did they have cookies. So they had certain goals. So I said, Addie, here's the goal. I'm going to buy all these cookies. Buy them. But here's the kicker. I'm not keeping any of them. You're going to keep them in your car. You're going to keep them in your house. And you have to give every box away to somebody that needs an encouragement. It can be somebody you know. It can be somebody you don't know, but it has to be personally to you. You got to give those boxes away. Man, it was so great when she says, I know. And then she said, Poppy, I gave a box to this person, and that's where we need to teach the lessons of generosity. Could she buy them? No. Not at 6 years old. She ain't buying them. But I can to make a point with her. We need to teach those opportunities. As you teach, listen, as you teach, we teach with patience. And sometimes that's hard, isn't it? God, give me patience. Man. Sometimes we're strung like that string on Paul's guitar and so tight that we're making music. And we say, God, give me patience. We need to teach with affirmation and delight in your kids. Affirm them. I do believe that as a grandparent, I wish I'd have been this way as a parent. I wasn't. But I wish as a parent, I was like I'm now at a grandparent, that I can affirm my grandkids. It doesn't matter the failure. It doesn't matter if they did this. I can say, listen, it's okay. It's okay. Let's go on. It's not that big a deal. It's life. Let's move on. As a parent, I was way uptight about all that stuff. Way uptight. I wish now I had that to regain. So instead of trying to be so uptight with everything they did, but affirm who they were, that what they did not make them who they were. Pass, fail, whatever. We need to teach them with nurture. Man, I am so, it has hit me in so many ways that now the issue that we need to teach with nurture. We have gotten to the point where we are good with correction. We're easily to point out all the things that they did wrong. It's easy to point out, oh, well, or just ignore. Never look at them, but we need to nurture, take time to nurture them. We are good as men to talk about what we know. Well, I know this. I know that. We are good at talking about what we think. I'll give you my opinion. And we do that with our kids. But seldom do we stop and talk about what we feel, even with our kids. This makes me feel, or I feel, and that's nurture. When we get on a level of saying how we feel about things and not just trying to correct. And lastly, we need to teach as we model forgiveness. Model forgiveness. Man, don't hold grudges. That's a principle of Proverbs. Let it go. Let's practice the essence of forgiveness. Dads, you need to forgive yourself for our failures, but we also need to model forgiveness to our kids. We need the kids. You may be a kid here who needs to model forgiveness to your parents because they may have failed you. That's true. But maybe you just need to model forgiveness. The lack of forgiveness doesn't hurt them. It only hurts us. It only hurts us. You've heard it said, the lack of forgiveness is like you drinking the poison and waiting for them to die. It just makes us bitter. It just makes us caustic. You want to know what the greatest Father's Day gift? It's given in God's Word. The greatest Father's Day gift a person could have is seeing your kids living for Jesus. John says that. Not adopting the philosophies of this world. Not following a lifestyle that's contrary to the lifestyle given in Proverbs. But being able to look down and seeing your kids walk with God. That is the greatest gift. Some of you have little kids yet. You still have such a great opportunity to mold, to nurture, to encourage. And man, that's a great thing to take. But for you who are kids, greatest gift you can give to your parents, whether you're a student today, listen to me. I know you just got back from camp and you've probably been drilled, but listen to me. You want to give your parents the greatest Mother's Day, Father's Day gift you can ever give is walk with Jesus. Live for Jesus. Dads, we need to model that, though. We need to model that. It's sad when I see students who have more spiritual depth and more spiritual maturity than their parents. It's very sad. Shouldn't be that way. Let's live a lifestyle to honor God, to know Him and make Him known. Happy Father's Day. Let's pray. God, I'm thankful that You are forgiving God, that You are the Father, You're the perfect Father who sees us in our imperfection, who knows our failures, who knows our struggles, who knows all about us. And God, there's so many principles out of Proverbs that we as dads need to implicate and input into people's lives. But they need to be in our life. We need to really show that and involve that. So God, we're never perfect. We won't be perfect. But God, I'm thankful that in our imperfection, You can use our life. God, I'm thankful that You can take my mess and You can make it Your message. May our kids see that. Help us deal with patience and love and affirmation and nurturing our kids and dealing with forgiveness. Give us a great day as we celebrate dads. In Your Son's name we pray. Amen.